Thank you very much. Thank you for having me to speak tonight. It's really great. I'm really looking forward to it. And a little bit of the context of what I'm doing is I'm actually covering for somebody, so I wasn't supposed to be speaking tonight, but Colin Chastel's away, and so I'm going to be covering. And I was thinking about what the best message to bring today was. And something that's really been on my heart at the moment is obviously, well, not obviously, but the mission. I'm on a mission at the moment, and that is naturally on my heart. And I really have seen some wonderful things that God's been doing at the moment. So I thought it might be nice to use this opportunity to give a bit of a testimony, but also to turn it into a word of encouragement for everybody here. And what I've been doing recently, why you wouldn't have seen me on Sunday mornings for some time, with some exceptions, is because I'm actually playing American football for my university team. So I'm a current PhD student at King's College London, and I joined the team a few years ago, and it's a really lovely group of guys, really friendly, really warm, lovely people. And I started that 3 years ago without very much thought about it, but this year in particular, I've had on my heart a real sense that this is a ripe field. This is a field that needs harvesting, and no one's going to do it unless I do it. Or rather, unless I do it with God, is probably a better way of putting it. But it's been so fantastic. So I started this year just with a sense of this field is ripe. There's lots of wonderful guys here. There's lots of relationships that I have. I've got a good history with the team, so they know me. I'm a person that hopefully people are friends with. And so there's a real opportunity to use that. And I really want to tell you about what's been going on, because I think, for me anyway, and I hope for you too, what you hear will hopefully be an encouragement for you to be able to do the same things and to think about what are the areas in your life where you're just a normal person, but you go with God's love. Where can you transform those mundane, everyday aspects of your life where you're dealing with people who might not know Jesus? And of course, I'm sure many of us do that anyway, but it's an encouragement that what you're doing is worthwhile and it's fruitful and that God will bless it and that you should persevere with that. And if you're not doing it, perhaps it's a challenge for you. Maybe you want to think, and we'll have some time of this later, but maybe you want to pray and think about, are there areas in your life that God is calling to you? Are there ripe fields, like I saw this year, or God showed me this year with American football, that you could maybe be stepping into? So I've called this message Everyday Evangelism for Everybody, and I think that is quite neat and pithy, but hopefully that carries the message across to you that evangelism is an everyday business. Evangelism is not something exotic where we go to the far reaches of South America and preach the word of God to people who've never heard it before. It is that, of course it is that, and that's really important, but evangelism is an everyday thing. That's what we're called to as people of Christ. And it's for everybody. There's no one here that is excluded from that. You're all called to that. So, a little bit more on the context. I've been playing football for 2 years and saw this right field. And I didn't actually realise it at the time, but I'd been on a course and there had been a few prophetic words spoken over me, which was really encouraging. And that's a story for another day, but I came to the life group leaders meeting, and we had a time of prayer, and basically the prophetic words that were spoken over me at that time really confirmed what had happened on this course, which was things like leadership, etc., etc. But this theme of America kept coming up, and it didn't mean anything to me until I spoke to Colin Chastel, who actually was one of the people that had this sense of America, and I told him what I've been doing about American football, and he's like, ah, I prophesied that. I went, yeah, you did. Yeah, didn't notice that. It took me a while. So what I did, I started off the season. I had a few established friendships, quite a few established friendships. I had a heart for God, and that was about it. I didn't have a strategy or a plan. I didn't have any clear idea as to what God wanted to do or what I wanted to do. But I knew something had to happen. So that's the place that I started from. And so the training sessions were Tuesday evenings and on Sunday mornings, and I was just praying before every session, God, there's a ripe field here, please do something. And nothing happened. I went to one training session, not much. Went to another training session, not much. I took it upon myself to make sure that I was in the pub every Tuesday evening. It's quite a hardship, I know. But to make sure that I was there to actually be friends with the guys, because I knew that it was going to be important to have relationships with them that go beyond just the structure of the everyday activities. Nothing happened. A couple of months, nothing more happened. Prayed about it, nothing was happening. Hadn't really had any opportunities to share the gospel. Hadn't had any chances to witness that I could see. So then I started thinking, oh, maybe I've been missing these opportunities. Maybe God's been giving them to me on a platter and I haven't even taken them. Maybe it's because I'm not brave enough. Maybe in the pub, I should have, stood on a table and thrown my glass on the floor and witnessed in front of the whole pub, but it's not really my style. I don't know many people whose it is, but I'd like to meet them. So what do I do? Am I missing opportunities? And that becomes something that I wouldn't say that I beat myself up about it, but it's something that you start sometimes taking on yourself when you feel that God has a purpose for something and you're responsible for stewarding that and you're not seeing the results you're expecting to see. That can be a very difficult place to be in. And it was a challenge. It was very difficult. So this went on for months. I was praying regularly. I was talking to Sam quite a lot about this, and we had a few really good discussions. And the turning point, praise God, was I actually had a discussion with Sam, and we talked about trying to get to the training ground a little bit early to pray over the training ground to set the atmosphere for what was going to happen that evening before the evening happened. And so I did that. I got there about 5 minutes early. I didn't really have very much time. It was just a case of getting there and saying, God, look, this is your field. Do something, please, Lord. Do something. And we went through that training session. And it was great. We had a good training session. It went really well. But no chances to witness. Nobody really asking me any questions. No obvious in routes. So, okay, never mind. The pub's where it happens. The pub's where it happens. We're going to have a few pints and we're going to chat. And it's going to be really good. Gets to about 10 o'clock. Thinking, oh, might only have another hour. Got to catch the last tube. Gets to about 10:45. Still nothing. No easy conversations. No obvious opportunities. And then I think, right, I'm going to have to call it a night because I have to go home. That's this week done. I'll try again next week. And suddenly, one of my good friends, a chap called Denny, turns to me and he says, Jonathan, what are you thinking about doing after your PhD? And I thought, right. So for those of you that don't know, I'm actually a fair way through the discernment process looking at ordination. And this has been a real journey for me. It's been a real blessing and it's been so exciting to kind of unpick. But it's not the sort of journey that you can share very easily with people who might not understand that process. But he'd asked, so he bought it on himself. He was going to hear. So I said to him, oh, well, I'm thinking about training to be a vicar. And he looked at me and his face just changed. It dropped. He went. And I thought, right, this is my chance. And he said, oh, well, you know what? I'm culturally a Sikh. I was brought up a Sikh. My parents are Sikh. They're Indians. They live in America. But I went to boarding school. I went to Wellington boarding school. And when I was there, every lunchtime, I used to go to the chapel because I just found it such a place of peace. And I said, oh, do tell me more. He said, yeah, I just used to go there like I didn't pray or anything, but it was a place that I wanted to be. And I thought, right, this is someone God really wants to do something with. And he reached into his rucksack and he pulled out this gigantic golden cross that somebody had given him. I don't know who it was. And he was like showing me all these things and showing me, yeah, I've been trying to pray recently and I don't really know how it works. And can you tell me about that? Like, what's this? What's that? I thought, okay, there's too much here to talk about at 10 minutes before I need to get the tube home. So I said, let's go for coffee the next day. And he said, yeah, absolutely love to. So I thought, thank you, Jesus. That's an answer to prayer for ages. So we had a fantastic meeting for coffee the next day. I think actually we went for lunch. And we started off just having very normal conversations about football and everyday life, etc. Until he started asking me some more direct questions about faith. So how do you pray? Why do you pray? Who is God? Who is this? Is it possible that you can be a Sikh and a Christian? Very tricky, dense theological questions. mixed in with some very basic but really important questions. Who is God? Why do we pray? And I just found it such a fantastic opportunity to tell Denny the gospel in 2 minutes. If you've never worked out your gospel in 2 minutes, I recommend that you do it at some point. If someone comes to you and says, who's Jesus? Have a 2 minute answer handy, because it's really, really useful. And I shared this with him. And my message, my gospel at that time and still, is that God is a God of love, who created us, who watched us rebel against him and go against him, but who loves us so much that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for us, that we don't have to die, but we can know eternal relationship with God the Father, and gave us some pretty useful ways to live as well. But for me, it was that heart of relationship. And when I was explaining relationship to this guy, Denny, again, his face just changed. It sort of melted, and he said at the end, and this is a big burly American football player, he said, I feel like I could cry. I never realized that there could be a God who loved me, and I want to know more about this. What a fantastic, from nothing for months, what a fantastic opportunity I just had. And here's a way in. If someone who's asking questions, well, you can go and pick on them again. If you've not shared or witnessed for a while, go and pick on the one who's asking questions. And it was really great. And that was absolutely fantastic when I found out a week later, another friend of mine came out and said, have you been talking to Denny about God? And I said, yeah, why do you ask? He says, well, he's just gone around the changing rooms telling everybody that he wants to pray more before football games and that you're the person to talk to. I said, all right, okay, great, okay. Need a badge or something. But it turns out this chap was a Christian. I hadn't known. I've known him for 2 years and he'd never told me. And, well, I'd never told him, I suppose, either. And he was a Christian. And as I got to know his story, he was a Christian who was brought up a Roman Catholic, knows God or knew God, but has not really walked with God for some time. And I thought, oh, okay, so maybe I'm not just looking for new disciples, maybe I'm looking for people who have known God and need to be called back. And so wasn't it wonderful that God should give me not just an opportunity, but with a faithful bit of witnessing, he went and then spread it all himself so that everyone then started asking me questions. And I didn't have to do a single thing. And that was, to me, just the epitome of God's grace. He should do that. So that's a very good point in the story, to just say that here I sort of thought, right, so now I've got a little bit more awareness after a few months of what's going on. I know the field a little bit better. I know there are some Christians, and I know that there's going to be a few opportunities here, whereas before it was a case of, well, what opportunities are there? So now it's time to get a little bit more strategic. But most of what was accomplished was really through prayer and listening to Jesus. And I had a conversation with Sam where we thought, do you know what, the best thing to do is to stop praying vague prayers of intercession, you know, God, please do something here, please do something, but to actually listen and to say, God, who are you calling me to speak to? What are you wanting to do? And when I started changing those prayers, things became a little bit clearer, and I had a sense that with this small group of Christians who had sort of now shown their colours, I got a real opportunity to get something established in the team. And so I prayed about it, and I thought about Denny, who'd been saying, oh, I want to know how to pray, I want to learn how to pray. And I thought, are you calling me to set up a prayer group? And I prayed about that for a while, and as I did it, it sort of in my heart was like, yes, this is what you're being called to do, set up a prayer group. I thought, okay, well, that's fine, but how on earth do I do that in a team where I've spoken to maybe 5 people about my faith, and the team's about 25 or so? How am I supposed to share that with those who aren't part of this? And as I thought about it and prayed about it, it was like, well, you're going to have to make yourself vulnerable, and you're going to have to put a message out to the whole group, because otherwise there's going to be people that get missed. There's no way of doing it except to include everybody. And that frightened me. I was really, really frightened about doing that, because you're making yourself very vulnerable, you're nailing your colours to the mast, you're showing people that actually you believe in God and that you love God and that you're passionate. And maybe you're one of those religious weirdos that sort of talks about God to people, which you are, absolutely. So it's a stupid fear, but it's a fear that we all want to blend in and we all want to be normal. So that's something to overcome. So I thought, the only way that I'm actually going to get over this is to actually do it. God, I'm going to have to be obedient, and if this costs me something, so be it. I'll do it. So I posted on the King's College Regents social page on Facebook, just said, "Hi guys, thinking of setting up a prayer group for before games particularly. If anybody would like to join me, you're more than welcome. There's one or two others that are interested. So it's not just going to be by myself, I promise." And nothing happened. So there was about an hour where I was really sort of twitchy and thinking, oh no, what have I done? No one's replying. And, you know, a few likes came on the page and thought, okay, so maybe there's some people interested. And then I got a few messages. Denny, of course, was one. He was like, yes, I love this. I want to do this. Great. Most committed of all of them. And then a couple of the Christians that I'd met said, yeah, we'd like to be involved in this. So I had about four people, five people maybe set up for this prayer group before the game. And came to game day. And suddenly I had people left, right and centre saying, oh, saw your post on the Facebook page. I didn't send you a message, but would you mind if I joined? No, by all means, come on. No, you didn't message me, go away. No, of course, you can come in. That'd be great. And it turned out, before the game, in a team of 25, I had 10 guys sitting there praying before the game. And I thought, praise God, that's so awesome. If I'd have gone back 2 months, I could never have dreamt there'd be 10 guys. Almost, you know, what, 50-45% of the team sitting here ready to pray. Praise God. And that was so wonderful. And so we had an opportunity to pray. And I said, okay, what we'll do is we'll pray with whatever's on our heart. And so I was thinking maybe with a few inexperienced Christians here, maybe a few people that don't know about prayer, it might be naturally stuff like, oh God, please let us win the game. Those sorts of things, which are fine prayers to pray, but not really the heart of what I was after. But it didn't happen at all. They were thanking God for the fact that they'd been put in a team of really great guys who were brothers, a chance to play well and to help each other and to love each other. They were praying about relationships in the team. They were praying about the atmosphere of the team. And I thought, wow, this is so much better than I could ever have imagined. And this was a really nice little group then to sort of pursue things. So I kept this prayer group going for a while. We finished with the Lord's Prayer, which is always good when you've got a group of mixed kind of denominations. Roman Catholics know it, you know, everybody knows it. And that was really fantastic. And Denny is the most passionate of all of them. There was one game we didn't get a chance to pray because we ran out of time. And he came up to me and he said, oh, Jonathan, can we just quickly pray here? I was like, what, like on the sideline? Yeah, yeah, right here, right here. Yeah, sure. So just prayed the Lord's Prayer. And he said, oh, thank you so much. I feel so peaceful now. I can go and play. Promptly ran onto the field and flattened somebody, which was wonderful. Really good. And so that's fairly recent. Until now, the most exciting development since then has actually been, right, I'm going to bite the bullet and offer them an alpha course. There's no one's really in one place, so it's difficult to find a church to take them to. So I'm going to run it, essentially. And I decided that this was a good idea, talked to Sam about it, and sent them a message. And so far, I've got five or six guys now lined up who are like, yes, we want to commit 2 hours on a Thursday evening once a fortnight to actually talk about God and who God is over a period of a semester. And, you know, think, yes, yeah, yeah. So absolutely. You think, you know, go back 2 months, I could never have dreamed that this was possible because I was banging my head against the brick wall, really. And this is what God's done. So I'm really excited to see the next stages. This isn't a finished article. Maybe it never will be. Hopefully it won't. But it's a real opportunity now to get into the nitty-gritty of who God is and why Jesus. So that's fantastic. And praise God, because none of this has been me. I've been faithful, certainly, but this isn't my imagination or my plans or my desires. I've just been listening to God, and God has so gracefully loved that team. And I think that's so wonderful that God should care so much. And it really brings meaning to that parable of the sheep, the 99 sheep and the one. And just to see in practice how much God loves the one is just, it breaks your heart every time. So, a few encouragements for you after my testimony. First of all, God wants to and will go to work in the everyday places of our life where we interact with those who don't yet know Jesus. And it doesn't need to be dramatic, it doesn't need to be grand, it doesn't need to be adventurous. It's just a case of being faithful and going into those places in your life where you have relationships with people, where you matter, where you are part of the furniture, if you like. You can be a difference in those places, and God will use you if you're willing. He will make you a difference maker in that place. So are there maybe areas like this in your life where you want to step out? Because if you think, I can make a difference, why not? If you know that you can take people or be a signpost, if you like, to Christ, why not do it? If it's a case of maybe taking a few risks, but actually not having to take that much on yourself except for to be faithful and listen, why not? How glorious will it be to see 1, 2, 5, 10, 100, 1,000 people come to Christ because you said, right, I'm just going to be honest and vulnerable here for a moment. And you can make a difference. There's a fantastic bit in Acts 1 verse 8 which says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So in other words, one of the most important reasons that we've received the Holy Spirit is to share the gospel. The Holy Spirit is a blessing and a treasure, but he is also looking to do stuff through us. So if we want the Holy Spirit, and if we're passionate about meeting God and being in God's presence, well, why not take on what the Holy Spirit wants to do and join him in that? Because that can be a place that you will meet him, and it will be a place that he transforms your life and takes you to transform other people's lives. The second thing that I wanted to point out is that it can be a very scary thing to do, and I'm not playing that down because I was terrified. I promise you, I was really nervous when I posted on the Facebook group. But this scary place is actually a really good place to be in. I've kind of learned to not pursue it like some kind of spiritual adrenaline junkie, but when I'm in a position where that fear is there, and we know full well that's the enemy trying to stop us from going into this place because it's going to be a place where God moves, that's something to be excited about and not to be worried about. If you're in a place where you're fearful that the next step might put your reputation on the line, or you might have to do something that you're not comfortable with, do it. I can promise you that feeling inside of you is something that you need to embrace. It's a sign of excitement, not of worry. Just embrace it, because God will do stuff in those places. From my testimony, I can tell you that all the times that I've stepped out have been the moments that stuff's happened. And if you want to see transformation and change, embrace it, because that's where God does stuff. And the third thing is, which really draws together this everyday evangelism for everybody, the kind of daily aspect of this, the easiness of this, is that you don't need to approach these everyday situations with grand strategies or schemes or plans. If you're that sort of person, that could be really helpful, and I'm not doing them down. If you've got a 12-point plan to convert 12 people in your workplace to Christ, great, go for it. But you don't need it. I didn't have it. I just went knowing that God wants to do something. And in my mind, the key really is actually relationships. Because I thought about this, and this is only something that's come to me with hindsight, which is that really what God's been working with all this time is not kind of the strategic part of my mind or anything like that. It's been the relationships that I've formed with people. It's been the friendships. And because I have friendships with people, they come and approach you, and those are the gateways in to conversations. And people will come to you because of the relationship that they have with you. So if you're in a place at work, say, or in a social group, and you feel like you want to have done something, but you haven't achieved anything for months, but what you've been doing is forming friendships, be absolutely encouraged, because relationships are the things, they're the building blocks, if you like, that God uses to build his kingdom in new places. It's relationships. And God, the two commandments, of course, that are most important, are love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And the second is love your neighbor as you love yourself. So loving others and forming relationships is the essence of what we're called to do. And also, I think it's important to point out that prayer is really important, and those kind of individual intercessory moments are really important, and you should be doing that regularly. It really, really changes things. Praying with other people, getting my life group to pray for me was one of the best things that I did, because that really helped the momentum to keep up. And some fantastic gems of wisdom from my life group about people or things that could change, and that was fantastic. And also acts of love are really important, and I didn't really realize that. I just kind of, because they're my friends, I did nice things for them every now and again, and they come back to you and remember that, and they see that as a difference. How strange that we live in a society where a simple act of kindness could be seen as something radically different. But that's it, that's what we are. We're difference makers. We are the single acts of kindness here and there. So where you've got an opportunity to love somebody, you know, say they haven't bought their lunch and they need a fiver for lunch, give them a fiver and don't ask for it back. Act of kindness, you never know, that's a small thing, but a month later they might come back and say, yeah, there's just something different about you. And you think, well, what's different about me? I just did something nice. So don't be afraid of those, and don't think that they're trite. They're really important. And I would say as well that in the types of prayer that we can pray, one of the most important is to just be responsive and to listen. So pray to God, what do you want me to do? Who are you calling me to speak to? And just to kind of finish up and draw things together, a few reasons why it's really important that we do evangelism every day and that everybody does it. First of all, Jesus has commanded us to do it, so this is one of our callings as a people of Christ. It says in Matthew 28:18-20, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So Jesus tells us to do that in the scriptures. Very difficult to get out of. Paul's message that he says in Romans is actually a little bit sterner, if you like. He points out that if we don't do it, people will be lost. So that means that friends, colleagues, relatives will die unless they have the opportunity to hear the gospel. And I don't say that to be upsetting. It makes me very uncomfortable, but it's the truth. We have to be people who allow others to hear the gospel, and that's a really important part of our mission. And if we don't do it, there will be consequences. As Paul says, how then can they call on the one if they have not believed? But on a much more joyous note, the fruit of all this is just pure joy. And that pure joy is seeing salvation in other people. We know what power that has in our own lives, but to see people light up with Jesus inside them is just the best feeling in the world. Romans 10 verse 9 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So the word that we're bringing in everyday evangelism, which we might think of as just a daily act, nothing that special, what we're actually bringing is an invitation to life. And that life is eternal life. So you're giving somebody a party invitation, and the party's in heaven. Who do you want to see at the party with you in heaven? Go to them. So that's me, really. A little bit of testimony, and I hope a word that's encouraged you. But I wonder whether we could just, in the time that we've got left, take a bit of time to maybe respond to that call. And maybe we could get into twos and just spend some time praying. Are there any places in your life that you feel called to, or that God's calling you to? Are there any people in your life that God is calling you to witness to, to be faithful to? Just spend a little bit of time doing that. Is that all right? Great. Cool.